The way you came. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is Yahweh's Covenant People on Eurofolk Radio, the place to be for truth. You don't get any more truth than we broadcast here at Eurofolk Radio. Two Seed Line Christian Identity doesn't get any better than this. How are you doing this evening, Pastor Steve?
I'm better than you because I had to wake you up.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Somehow 2 hours just passed by.
Doggone. You know, you've had a rough week. You've had that surgery on your hand and all the stitches out. And, you know, doggone, Eli, you need to relax once in a while. Yeah. But we're going to get into an interesting study. Clifton Emmaheiser, God rest his soul, did a big thing on the mistranslation in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 7. The translators made a mistake on this. Mm-hmm. It says, "Do not loathe an Edomite, for he is your brother." Okay, "Do not loathe a Mithraim,
or a poor,
because
right?
you were a stranger in his land." The correction that needs to be made: do not loathe an Arami, an Aramean, because we are commanded to hate the Edomites, Esau.
Yes.
And there's only one little, instead of Edomi, it would be Aromi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Clifton pointed that out. I do believe that Comparé did something on that also.
Okay.
Way back when. This has misled so many people. That's Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 7, folks.
Yeah, okay.
Get in your Bibles and make a little side note. Cross out Edomite. It is not Edomite. It's Aramean. Mm-hmm. Aromi.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Not Edomi, Aromi.
Now, I believe he uses the word Elamite instead of Arami, but of course, Elam is a territory within Aramea, you know, Aram. Aram being a Shemitic people. So, what we're being told. Go ahead.
If you look at Abram's father, he was an Arami.
Right.
They were from Aram originally.
Right.
And that's where that comes from, this commandment. Do not loathe an Aramean.
Right.
All right. Right. Yahshua, Messiah, did not speak pure Hebrew. He spoke Arami, the language.
Right.
Aramean. It's almost identical to Hebrew except for some spelling and pronunciation differences. That's the origin of our people. We came from Aram, which is now known, that territory is now known as Syria.
Right, right.
And the people are very, very white. They're not pure white anymore.
Not anymore.
They have been mixed. But that is our territory of origin, folks. That's where we came from originally.
Yes, yeah.
So
that's where, Abraham settled, Abraham's relatives.
Right.
Okay, yeah. They were Shemites. They were Shemites closely related to the Israelites.
Well, they weren't Shemites until later. Shem was one of the sons. That's where Shemites come from, from Shem. Abram precedes Shem.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Very well. So Aram, what's in the line of not Shem. I think you're talking about the Hebrews. The Shem
Aver,
came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aver.
Right. 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 Okay.
My
okay.
Bad.
Okay. I was wondering what the hell. What the hell? I just woke up.
Aver.
I caught that one.
And I just got done doing the dishes.
Right.
I don't have the article Israelite one. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm
getting ready to post it.
Okay. Eli's going to post it. In the EFR chat, guys.
Yeah, I have to switch to Internet Explorer. For some reason, my Google won't allow me to post it. Won't allow me to open up the Eurofolk Radio chat room. So I'm going to have to use Internet Explorer to do that.
That's censorship, of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's goofy. Different browsers.
I have been at it all day. Eli's been at it all day. We did the show with Andy Hitchcock this morning, and then Eli's been doing some stuff. He had surgery for his carpal tunnel, and
right.
then they had just taken the stitches out, so he's been one-handed for a
right,
while.
Right, one-armed bandit. So, yeah, and today I was doing a lot of, let me put it this way, exhausting work on reading emails, not emails, but mail from the prison ministry. And, you know, I have to say there's the white men in prison are just thirsting, hungering for Christian identity literature and writings, especially Two Seed Line stuff. And they're really, really eating it up and wanting more. So I'm trying to feed them feed the prison flock with CI literature. Okay. But
well,
anyway,
the system censors that so heavily.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, in fact, they will censor my mail, won't deliver it. And a guy in California complained that they weren't delivering my mail. So, because after numerous correspondences, sometimes I send them articles on Two Seed Line, sometimes I don't, you know. And
they open the mail and they read it, and if it's some Katsahunda at the mail desk that day,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
It goes in the trash.
Yeah. I was just getting ready to say, if I just write a letter, then that usually gets through. But if there's a CI, you know, Two Seed Line article and it has racial content.
They examine all documents. And CI is strictly forbidden, especially in the federal system.
Yes. 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 So anyway, yeah. So, I've got a lot of complaints lately about items I sent and not being delivered to its intended recipient, you know. So, you know, I, in the past, I've had to threaten certain prisons with a lawsuit, and then that finally makes the mail go through. But until I threaten them with a lawsuit, they hassle us a lot, all right? So, but here, let me, I've got the article up here let's see, God Hated Esau. Okay. This is from fathersmanifesto.net. And Clifton's story on this is part of a larger newsletter that he wrote. And it says, from Easton's Dictionary, Edomite tribes settled also in the south of Judah, like the Kenizzites, Genesis 36:11, whom Caleb and Othniel belonged. To whom Caleb and Othniel belonged. Now, this is not the same Caleb who was of the tribe of Judah, okay? Sometimes, as you find out in Genesis, the seed line of Cain often has the same names as the seed line of,
correct.
Of Seth, okay?
If you will remember, Eli, at that time, I was Clifton's proofreader. He sent everything to me, and I did the proofreading on all of that because he had a lot of spelling errors, et cetera, et cetera. And I was his main guy before he got hooked up with Fink.
Right, right, right.
So I go way back. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I see this is not the correct article. Certainly God hated Esau. There's no doubt about that. Let me just read through this anyway, the section I started on. is pretty good. Number two, the southern part of Edom was known as Teman, T-E-M-A-N. Idumea, which it
right,
wasn't
and
called...
they had a Duke Teman,
right,
of the Edomites, and that's where that area was named after him, the Dukes of Edom.
Right, right.
And yeah, they was named after Teman,
mm-hmm.
one of the sons of Esau.
Right. Yeah, and I believe he had, there were 11 dukes of Edom, mm-hmm. and 12 yep. sons of Israel, right? So the number 11 is prominent in what the Edomites do throughout history, right? Like 9-11, everybody, right? They love that number 11 because there were 11 dukes of Edom, all right? And so he's just basically documenting the nation or land or country of Idumea. The field of Edom, Genesis 32:3. The land of Edom, Genesis 36:16. It was mountainous. It was called the land or the mountain of Seir. Seir, also the land of Seir. The rough hills on the east side of the Arabian Peninsula. It extended from the head of the Gulf of Aqaba, the Ilinatic Gulf, to the, and here's that, well, never mind, to the foot of the Dead Sea, and contained, among other cities, the rock-hewn Sela, generally known by the Greek name of Petra. It is a wild and rugged region traversed correct. By fruitful valleys. Its old capital was Basra, and that place still exists, folks. The early inhabitants of the land were Horites. They were destroyed by the Edomites, Deuteronomy 2:12. Between whom and the kings of Israel and Judah there was frequent war. Okay, so this partially explains why.
Lots of habitable caves.
Right. Yeah, and that movie, I think the Indiana Jones movie, where they show that huge temple in the rocks, is just carved out of solid rock, you know, in the middle of the desert. Right. That's it. That's where they were. That's Petra, okay?
That's
Petra,
the stone
all right?
city, Petra.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
correct.
Yes. So as identifying the place, etc., and these quotations about Edom, it's very obvious, folks, that if Deuteronomy 23:7 is correctly translated, that's saying if, then it would be at total odds with the rest of the pronouncements about Edom throughout the entire scripture, Old and New Testament, because there's not a kind word spoken about Edom anywhere except this one verse. So if somebody says, okay, all right, we're not to abhor Edomites, that's what the Bible says, then you have to ask, well, why is this one verse, why should this one verse stand out as saying the opposite of every other statement about Edom in the Bible? You know, that should ring an alarm bell to whoever reads this verse. You know, there's something wrong. There must be something wrong with this verse.
Well, the controversy stems from the letter Daleth.
Okay.
Daleth and a Resh, that's a D and an R,
okay,
are very similar.
All right,
and if they made a mistake on that, it would change it into Edomi instead of Army, because the A is
right.
is indistinct in that language.
Now, isn't a matter of a jot versus a tittle? I mean,
that's
something...
correct. It's very, very minor, and it's very easy to fudge. And it could be. A mistake on the part of a scribe on the scroll they were reading at the time.
Right. A
but
bad copy.
The scriptures all through tell that we are to hate the Edomites.
That's right.
The whole book of Obadiah.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Edom attacked Israel over and over and over and
yeah,
over.
Coming out of Egypt and many other times, yes.
And Esau himself tried to strangle his brother.
Right, yep.
hated his brother then, and his children hate Israel now.
Right. Yeah, well, that's why Rebecca
said... This is another one of the things in the KJV, and they have it wrong in the scriptures as well.
Really? Really? Oh, wow. Wow, they haven't corrected that in the scriptures.
They have not corrected that.
Okay, okay. But the reason why Rebecca sent Jacob off away from Esau is because she knew that Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and so he sent him off to his uncle... And the teacher of righteousness, I believe.
Correct.
That was even Shem. Okay. So, all right. So now here is where Clifton Emmaheiser gets into the actual discussion of the verse. He says, this is toward the bottom of the article, folks. As I promised you in my last teaching letter number 22, I'm going to clear up and document the problem with Deuteronomy 23:7. As I told you before, there are approximately 27,000 translational, it says transnational. You missed that one, Pastor Steve. Translational errors in our present Bibles. Yeah, some say even more. Some various translations by the various translators have attempted to clean up many of these discrepancies, but the errors are very numerous and overwhelming. And I would comment here, the vast majority of these errors are minor and rarely affect meaning. Rarely affect meaning. But some of them do, and this is one of them, okay? And by the way, the King James Version is not error-free. It's not inerrant, no matter what anybody tells you, because you know we've been exposing problems with the word Gentile, the word Jew, which we'll be discussing as part of tonight's show, how the word Jew is misused by the King James Version, etc. The translation of Deuteronomy 23:7 is one of them. I will start by quoting this passage. As translated, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. Okay, let's talk about the Egyptians first, okay? Now, the Egyptians were the brothers of the Israelites because they were Hamites, brother of Shem, okay? And it wasn't...
Let me make a point.
Okay.
The Pharaoh that did not know Yosef, they just had a show, Comparé just did a show on that.
Okay.
Tonight.
All right.
And he says that Pharaoh, there arose a Pharaoh over Egypt. Well, those were the Hyksos who were later run out. They were not the Egyptians. They were a different people. The Hyksos were very fierce. And they were of the wrong seed line. He didn't know Joseph because he was not of the Mizraim bloodline.
He wasn't a Hamite. Yeah, he was.
That's correct. They were known for their duck-billed battle axes. Now you can imagine a rounded battle axe, razor sharp. Mm-hmm. The kind of wound that would make. It penetrates better than a flat-bladed axe.
Right, right.
They were known for using those, and if you got hit with one of those, you were done because it just ripped you to pieces.
Right, right.
They were known for that, and they were very cruel. And they not only persecuted Israel, they persecuted the true Mizraim that were there as well, until eventually the Mizraim rose up and kicked them out.
Yes.
Comparé did a big study on that, and that was the show that was on tonight.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
So I listened to Comparé over and over and over because it's just marvelous.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you miss something.
Always.
Now
here it ties in with what we're doing now.
Exactly, exactly. Because the word stranger here in this verse is sojourner, or properly a guest. So it's referring to the fact that the Israelites actually were welcome guests in Egypt under Joseph. Okay.
Under that pharaoh, yes.
Right, yeah.
And later on, when a foreign pharaoh conquered them,
that's
and
right,
took the title of pharaoh, nobody was welcome.
Yeah. So in actual fact, the Israelites and the Hamites of Egypt got along really well.
Yes.
There was a little, how should I say, concern when the Israelite population began to grow so multitudinously that they began to outnumber the Egyptians, right, in the area, right?
So they moved to the south down to that fertile area, and they were the great farmers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of the Fertile Delta. Yeah.
Yes.
The Israelites.
The Delta area.
Yeah.
And they fed the whole country.
Right. So the people of Egypt,
just like the farmers in Africa fed the whole continent.
Yeah, white farmers.
Until they decided to get rid of all the white farmers.
Mm-hmm, right.
They can starve. As far
right,
as
yeah. History repeats itself, doesn't it?
Well,
right. So anyway, the Egyptians and the Israelites got along pretty well for the most part. It wasn't until this Hittite king, who I believe was the mixed blood offspring of a Hittite queen and an Egyptian pharaoh. Okay, so this is the pharaoh that knew not Joseph and began to, you know, treat the Israelites badly. Okay, but outside of this episode, the Israelites and the Egyptians got along pretty well. Okay, because they were in fact brothers, Ham and Shem being brothers along with Japheth of the same race, the Aryan race. Okay. So this, I mean, a stranger here is actually a sojourner, I think is probably, you know.
It is Ger.
Yeah, Ger.
G-E-R, which is number 1616.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a sojourner.
Yeah, but it's also
a temporary resident
mm-hmm.
in the land.
Yeah, but.
And they would eventually move on.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Yeah, but a thorough analysis of the word Ger. It's always a stranger or foreigner of one's own race. Okay,
that's correct.
All right. Unlike Nokri, and there's a couple others that suggest people of a different race. Okay, and the way that's proven is by the fact in Leviticus and Exodus, it talks about different kinds of strangers, some who should be put to death if they try to touch the holy objects or participate in Israelite customs.
That's right.
They're to be put to death, okay? That's never true of the Ger stranger, okay?
No.
This proves to us that they're kinsmen, okay?
That's
and
right.
King James does not make these kind of distinctions, all right? So let's get back now to the first part of Deuteronomy 23:7. Where it says, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother, okay? And Clifton Emmaheiser says of this, okay, I will start with this passage, thou shalt, and we just quoted it. From this verse, it would appear that we should welcome all Edomites into our congregations with open arms, as Judeo-Christians open their arms to the Jews, right? Okay? And with no questions asked. And that we are somehow guilty of some dire, contemptible sin for even thinking an evil thought against them. Well, the fact is that the entire rest of the Bible does not have a good word to say about Edomites. Not one.
Nope. Nope.
Okay? So there's something wrong with the context of this verse that should be obvious. I ask you, is this not the impression which seized upon you when you read this passage for the first time? Actually, in my case, no, because when I first read the Bible all the way through, I was reading it in order to write my book, The Great Impersonation, so I had already understood that the Edomites were evil, right? I was
correct.
Just doing the research to back up my Christian identity belief, you know, and tracing the bloodlines, okay? So when I came across 23:7, I said, wait a minute. There's something fishy about this verse, okay? All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, remember the guilty, dirty, condemning feeling which overcame most people for even giving the Edomites the slightest hint of a disparaging thought? That possibly Yahweh might suddenly kill you in your very tracks for even blinking an eye? Well, okay. This is the reaction of a lot of people, you know, because there it is, plain as day, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. You know, so that would be the natural reaction of most people not understanding the scenario that obtained between Esau and Jacob, and how Jacob is always the righteous one and Esau is always the evil one. Okay?
Yep.
So if you're not familiar with those, you know, with the relationship between these two brothers, and they were brothers, then yeah, I could see how someone could read this verse and get the false impression about Edom. Back to you.
Okay, it's like in Mark where they had the woman that they were going to stone to death.
Right.
Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. If you research that, that's not even in the scriptures. That was added much, much later by an evangelist in Europe. Mm. It is not in the original scriptures. Mm-hmm. So that but it's in the King James Bible.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Was that,
but it's noted in many other Bibles that it is not in original text. It was an addendum put in by a Christian evangelist.
Hmm. I forget the name.
He made it up. Yeah. He made it up and added it. And boy, they teach it as gospel today.
Was that a Catholic edition that was handed down to the Protestant churches?
I don't know. It is not clear.
Okay.
But in who wrote it or whatever, but it notes that it was added by somebody that was evangelizing, and he thought that would be a nice addition.
Right. Okay. Right.
So, yeah. And we're commanded, don't add to or take away from these words.
Right. Right. So I think in this case, this is an accident. I don't think it's deliberate. Because as we're talking about, these are jots and tittles. And what's the verse? Not one word of scripture will pass away. Not one jot or tittle of the scripture.
That's right.
Okay.
Dot of an I or cross of a T.
Right. Everything will be investigated. Every little jot or tittle of the Bible will be confirmed before the second coming. You know. And
you also have to remember that a lot of these very early scriptures were written on
parchment
mm-hmm. and animal skins and whatever, mm-hmm. and the ink quality wasn't that good. They were done by reed pens,
right,
and yeah. homemade ink, and
yeah, it's like my office
there
here.
There are several other texts that were found that counter this error.
Uh-huh. Right, right. And you can see such a small, in fact, the next line, 130, Edomi, with a little squig at the end of it. Right? A single parenthetical.
That's the yesh.
Okay, right. Now I can see.
Pardon me, that's the yod. That's the yod.
Yeah, so I can see a scribe just missing that entirely. Maybe his eyes were getting bad, right? And he didn't know.
Well, it's the Daleth. The Daleth and the Resh are very similar.
Uh-huh.
If you have a long arm on a Resh, it looks like a Daleth instead of a Resh.
Okay, right.
That could have been a mistake by the writer. So right. They and it was a little fudgy, and they just translated it Edomi instead of Aromi.
Right. Okay, so he's discussing the two words Edomi and Aromi, okay? Completing number 30, 130 rather. A patronymic, that is a name of a father or a grandfather from number 123, an Edomite or descended from or an inhabitant of Edom. Edomite, okay, C-726, which had the following to say, okay? So item number 726, Aramie, with a little squiggle at the end, a clerical error for 130, an Edomite, as in the margin, Syrian. Okay, so an Aram or Aramean is probably the original terminology of the inhabitants.
Arami, that's how it's pronounced in Hebrew.
Right, okay. And the people that lived in that area were originally known as Arameans, not as Syrians. The word Syria came later, okay?
That's correct.
These are Arameans, and Arameans are not the same as Edomites, correct?
They are not.
They're not the same, okay? They're relatives of the Hebrews, and they are Shemites, okay? At once, the truth struck me, and this was about 15 years ago. For if the proper rendering was Syrian instead of Edomite, it would make all the difference in the world. Over the years, since that time, I have pointed this clerical error out to many people of our persuasion. At the time, I knew this made more sense if Deuteronomy 23:7 were to correctly read Syrian or Aramean rather than Edomite, for the Syrians were Abraham's relatives, in which case this verse would read, quote, his translation now, thou shalt not abhor a Syrian, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a sojourner in his land, would be a better translation, I believe.
And that would be the actual Mizraim instead of the Hyksos.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Because that land belonged to the Mizraim, not to the Hyksos, although the Hyksos
took over it. The Mizraim and the Hebrews got along great.
They did. They did. But the Hyksos, I agree, were a an Edomite tribe that took over for a period of 20 years or so and overthrew the Mizraim for a while, but then they were cast out again, okay?
Yep.
So, yeah. Over the years, I have been satisfied that the word should have been Syrian instead of Edomite. I remember one party who challenged me, indicating that it was only a clerical error and really didn't mean anything. Okay, well, right?
What is the effect of that clerical error?
Right. No, clerical errors can't mean anything. They're just clerical errors, right?
It just changes the whole context.
That's right.
Of that passage, and the Judeo-Christian churches take it and run with it.
You talking about me? You talking about me, right? You better not be talking about me, right? There's your clerical error and the results of it, right? I finally came to the conclusion that it would be a hard proposition to prove and decided not to push the point openly any further. And he's correct. You know, I mean, how do you prove that it's a jot instead of a tittle? How do you prove that? Okay. Well, I would say what we've discussed so far, the fact that the context of Edom throughout Scripture is negative, very negative, and that this one verse should stand out like a sore thumb in opposition to all those other verses, you would have to scratch your head and ask, why? Why does this one verse say we should not abhor Edom when every other verse says that we should?
Well, the Bible does not contradict itself.
That's right. There
you go. This was an error.
Yeah.
If all the rest of the passages are correct, this one's got to have a little problem with it.
Right. Yeah. So he saw a little problem there. One of the, what book was he referencing here above? I have to scroll back up. Reference book. Okay, I guess he's just, Strong's Concordance is all he's referencing here. But then he started referencing other books. For example, the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. I decided not to push the point openly any further. That is, however, until recently when I was preparing for this lesson, I accidentally discovered what the clerical error was. I will now reveal to you how I made this discovery. Now, we have referenced this article by Emmaheiser many times, but we have never done a show about it, okay? And because this comes up so often, I can't tell you how many emails I get from people. But it says in Deuteronomy 23:7, you're not supposed to abhor an Edomite. What's wrong with you? Okay. All right. And then I send them back. And what I usually do is send them a copy of this article by Clifton Eberheiser, right, to clarify it for them. We've never actually done a show about this. Okay. So that's why we're doing this, so we can clear the air once and for all. And then we just point people to the show, this show right here, this edition of Yahweh's Covenant People. So he was challenged to prove it. Okay, so he came out across the discovery by accident. As I had decided, I will now reveal to you how I made this discovery. As I had decided to take up the topic of Esau, I was in the process of reading anything and everything I could find on the subject. I was reading along in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, Volume E through J, page 24, under the subtitle Edom, when I read this, quote, "There are places where, because of the similarity between the letters D and R, as you've been telling us, as Dalash and Resh, right? Mm-hmm. The text was wrongly read Aram, i.e. Syria, and Arameans for Edom." Okay, so he found out that the error in the other direction had been made. Okay. And Edomites, such as 2 Kings 16:6, 2 Chronicles 22, where the KJV has followed the MT. What's the MT, Pastor Steve?
Masoretic text.
There you go. Who wrote the Masoretic text?
The Masoretic Jewish scribes.
There you go, the Edomite Jews. So do you think passively the Edomite Jews, with their own versions of dots and squiggles and jots and tittles, may have made a clerical error that the King James translators bought? You think that's a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so if they made the mistake in the other direction, substituting Aram for Edom in several places, why couldn't they make it in the other direction? Okay. But the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, has followed an embedded text, or amended. That's a... amended text should be A instead of E for amended. Note, I have followed the Hebrew characters as faithfully as I know how to do on my computer. I may have made a mistake. The main thing to notice here is the similarity between the letters D and R. You can see very clearly, right? Okay. And this particular copy of the text doesn't give the Hebrew font. So you can't really follow. But this is his point, and he shows the Hebrew fonts in other places. You can see very readily that a very small slip of the pen or a deliberate change by a Masoretic rabbi can change the word from Edomite to Samian or Syrian to Edomite. I will enlarge these two Hebrew letters and place them side by side so you can observe the difference in them. Unfortunately, this article doesn't show that. With this very small change in the Hebrew writing, and the word can be changed from Syrian to Edomite. Think of it this way, Syrian or Edomite, whether there's an R or a D, okay? Again, if he were using Aramaic, I think it would be clearer rather than Syrian, because the word does begin with an A, all right? Aram begins with an A, not with an S. So think of it this way, Aramite or Aramaean or Edomite, okay? So a little error in the jot or the tittle could lead to a false reading, okay? By this above slight change, the Hebrew R sound is changed to a D sound. Since I originally wrote this, I now realize that the small remnant of Judah from Jerusalem who went into Babylonian captivity spoke Hebrew when they went in and spoke Chaldee when they came out 70 years later. I don't know if we want to equate.
That's Chaldee from Chaldeans, Chaldean, which was the name of the Babylonians.
They right.
The Chaldeans.
Yeah, I don't know if I would equate Aramaic with Chaldean, but maybe
very
Aramaic.
Close.
Okay, all right.
Very
or,
close.
Or possibly Aramaic overtook the area, which is also possible. Also, when they went in there, they were using a rounded style of Hebrew to write in, And when they came out, they were using a square style of Hebrew.
That is the modern block Hebrew.
Okay. All right. So.
And originally, Paleo Hebrew was stick figures.
Stick figures.
You can see, if you research in fonts, Paleo Hebrew, there were no vowel.
Right. No vowel
markers.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
In the original Hebrew.
Those were added by the Masoretes.
That's right. So
there were no vowels.
Right. And so if you
written text.
Yeah.
They were pronounced, but you just had to know.
Yeah.
Came from your parents and from the teachers when they taught the young.
Right, and from general conversation.
That's right. And they were the same as all other peoples. The language here in the United States, we have dialects in different parts of the country. Like I've said before, down here, if something is really good or something tastes really good, that food's really good, it's a, man, that's far.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's far.
Far out.
Far.
All right. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, what do you mean that's fire? You know, far.
Yeah. That's good.
They pronounce it. That means that's really good. Well,
yeah, right.
you go up into the Boston area, and it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different dialects. Yeah, yeah. So, but that just gives you a problem with pronunciation, right? Now we see that the Masoretes inserted vowel points for every single word of the Hebrew in the Old Testament, thus editorializing when they felt like it.
There was never any word Jehovah.
Right, there was never such a word.
They put the vowel points of Adonai, which means Lord, because it was then prohibited by the Jews to say Yahweh,
right,
under the letters of the word Yahweh, and they came up with Yahweh.
Uh-huh, right, and added a syllable.
Which translated into Jehovah. There is no word Jehovah.
Well, you can see Adonai.
But you got a whole sect, Jehovah's Witnesses.
right.
Built around that mistranslation. Right. What they have done with the language, they have butchered, and it's translation by rumor.
Right. Right.
And these Christian so-called Christian sects
follow Jewish error
of rumor.
Right, Jewish error.
It's a rumor mill. They don't have hardly anything right.
Hardly. That's correct.
So why would you expect them to get this right?
And
they don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their boat rocked. So if you point this out to them, well, you're a hater and a Nazi, and you got a demon.
And they don't want to hear their KJV criticized.
They always fall back on the same lame excuses. They don't want to accept the truth because they're in a cult.
That's right.
A lot of these so-called fundamental Christian churches are nothing but cults, the King James cult. It is a cult.
Right, yeah.
And there are areas of the area I live in, down toward the east in the mountains, if you speak against King James Bible, they're going to kill you out in the parking lot.
Yeah, love thine enemy, Pastor Steve.
I mean, they will actually, they will get together and they will shoot you.
Right, but doesn't their Bible...
They will take your life over that.
Right, but doesn't their Bible contain the phrase, love thine enemy? Right?
No,
it doesn't? Oh, okay, I see.
Oh, yeah, y'all got a demon, you gotta die.
Right.
You're a Nazi.
All right.
Quote. You don't like cowards, chosen people.
Yes. So he quotes.
We're going to kill you, boy.
Right? He quotes a couple of other verses about Esau. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. What's dragons really here? Jackals. Okay. Whereas Edom saith, okay, we don't want to be too critical of the King James, but it's jackal, not dragons, folks. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness. That's the Israeli state, folks. And the people against whom Yahweh hath indignation forever.
Well, so, it's like an iron threw down his rod and it became a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you in front of Pharaoh,
right?
If you research it, it became a crocodile.
Okay.
Why did it become a crocodile? Because the symbol of power in Egypt at that time was the crocodile. The crocodile, right. God. They had a god, mm-hmm, with the head of a crocodile.
Right, there you go.
And that was a symbol of power.
Yeah.
And Aaron's crocodile ate up all the other crocodiles.
Right. Yep.
And you have to research the word. You have to do the word study. And it's too difficult and too much work for most people.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but our people have a great deal of laziness.
That's right.
It is much easier for them to listen to the black-robed guy up in the pulpit and then just go home or go watch a football game. Here in Kentucky, if there's a UK basketball game on, they're going to let church out early.
Right.
Everybody go watch basketball.
Right, right.
Watch their little G God basketball.
Right.
That is a religion here in Kentucky. Basketball, mm-hmm, UK, right, and University of Louisville basketball.
Yep.
Watching Negroes play with a ball. That's more important than staying in church.
But it's easier for Cecil.
I had been going to a particular church down in Somerset years ago, and they knew that I preached, and I'd done several sermons, and they were going to let the church out one day, and I got up in that church, they asked me to speak.
You preached hellfire.
I did a bell ringer, buddy. I'll tell you what.
Right.
And you could have heard a pin drop. And I was asked not to come back after that.
Right, yeah.
I said, you people will subvert and pervert the Sabbath day to go watch Negroes play with a ball.
Yeah, right.
I said, what is wrong with this picture, people? Mm-hmm. Who do you worship?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now it's television. Right? The image of the beast.
No, they were going to go home and watch the basketball game on TV. UK,
right. Oh, okay.
Playing.
Yeah, okay. I thought
and
you were in the vicinity.
I put the hammer on it. I said, right, you've got to get your priorities straight. This you call this the Sabbath day, and this is the day of the Lord, but you're going to put him aside for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what is wrong with this picture, so-called Christians?
Yeah, so you can imagine how little attention they paid to the other sermons throughout the basketball season, right? And then there's a baseball season and a football season.
The last time I was in that church, they said, well, we would appreciate it if you just
found
another church.
Yeah, right, right.
Because your views are offensive.
Yeah, your God, the Bible is offensive. All right, he quotes Numbers 20, verses 18 through 21. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. This is Edom speaking to Israel, coming back from Egypt. And he, Edom, said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And there's never been any peace between these two bloodlines ever since. Okay? Never was before. In fact, remember, what did Rebekah ask Yahweh? Why are these two sons of mine duking it out in my womb?
Oh, they were the children struggled within her womb.
Right, right. And then what did Yahweh answer her when she asked that question? Two manner of people are in thy womb. Yep. Two different kinds of people, one righteous, two, one evil. Yeah, right? So, how do we get a good version of Edom out of that? Or out of Esau?
We don't.
Right, that's why Deuteronomy 23:7 is badly translated. I mean, all the evidence is against it being correctly translated, okay? And he finally makes a statement here, Edomites, descendants of Edom, or Esau, an ancient people who were enemies of the Israelites. Okay? Enemies of the Israelites.
There's a comment in the chat room.
Okay.
All right. In the block Hebrew, there is no letter, actually, for A. There's no vowels.
Mm-hmm.
They have the first letter. They put a vowel point underneath that for either an A or an E or whatever. The second letter is the problem. It is either a daleth or a resh. The daleth has a longer lower arm on it. And if the guy slipped with the pen and it extended a little bit down, instead of a resh, it would be a D,
right,
instead of an R. It's not the first letter. There is no letter E and there is no letter A.
Right, not in the Hebrew.
There are no vowels in the Hebrew.
In the written Hebrew, right.
The second letter is the problem. They translated it as a dalet
in this case, yes,
instead of a resh, because the guy had a little extended arm on his resh. He made it a little too long.
He's got a rash on his arm?
And it was resh, R-E-S-H. Mm-hmm. And it was translated as a dalet instead of a resh. That's the problem. There is no letter A or E.
Right, right.
They have the first.
In the original Hebrew, yes.
They have the Aleph, which is not pronounced. It's silent.
Mm-hmm.
It's silent.
Brother Abair brings up a good point here in the chat room, the story about the two Goyim in Rebecca's womb. Okay. Yeah, they should have rushed that guy. Right. Good one, Brother Abair. But very often they translate the word Goy as Gentile. Do they not?
There were two nations.
Right. So why isn't it translated as two Gentiles? Why didn't they translate? Yeah, why didn't they translate this as there are two Gentiles in your womb? They could have easily done that.
Two nations, two Goyim.
Right.
In your womb. And she was not Jewish.
Yeah.
The supposed Jewish room. He's got that right.
Yeah.
They keep trying. Abraham was a Jew. Yeah. No,
right.
He was.
Yes. So why didn't they translate Goyim with the word Gentile, as they very often do for no good reason? Why didn't they translate a Gentile in this case? Because they would say that Rebecca gave birth to Gentiles instead of Jews. Right? So that would just confuse everybody.
They have played fast and loose with all of it. That's why I have this huge library here, and I've got a bunch of Hebrew texts. I've got all the stuff in the Paleo Hebrew. I've got the modern Tanakh.
Right, right.
I read both. I read and speak Hebrew. And I had to learn to do that. You talk about, the guy said difficult language. You have no idea how difficult.
Yes. Yeah, it's tough. Almost as bad as Chinese.
Oh, man. Right. Well, which dialect of Chinese?
Right. Which dialect of Hebrew, right? Which dialect of English?
130 different dialects in Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we can see, from how easy it is to make a clerical error, and in this case, in my opinion, it's possibly a deliberate Masoretic insertion, okay, deliberately, so that because the Jews don't want us to hate them, right? They don't want us to hate them. It's okay for them to hate us, but they don't want us to hate them. So I can see some rabbi, with his quill, making a deliberately false squiggle instead of a jot, right? I can see that.
He just dropped that resh arm down a little bit, making it a dalet.
Yeah, or maybe a piece of snot dripped from his nose.
The same way in Hebrew, the original Hebrew, even in the block form, was done in a boustrophedron. They read Hebrew from right to left. Well, in boustrophedron, you read from right to left. You drop down one line, you read left to right. You drop down one line, you read right to left. Yep. It's a zigzag pattern back and forth. That's how it was originally.
Right, right.
There were no mistakes possible with the Paleo Hebrew because the letters are so distinct.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't matter whether there are no vowels either, so it doesn't really matter whether it's right to left or left to right.
You were supposed to know the language. You didn't have vowels.
Right.
Until the Masoretes, and they invented those vowel points, and by their vowel points, they changed so many texts with the false vowel points.
Right, right.
It's a mess. It was tampering.
Right. And it's also possible that it's just a clerical error, a mistake, because the letters are so similar and they're so small. Right? Yeah. And it could even be...
Oh, buddy, did you look at the time?
Yeah, I see we're getting close to the end here.
Oh, man, we have gone off on this, folks.
Right?
I mean, this is just too good.
Right.
Wow.
Well, this is a kind of study that needs to be done in Scripture, And I'm amazed that the Scriptures still have got that wrong. I thought they would have corrected that by now. You better write them a letter.
I did in my translation of the First Testament. I have that corrected, and I have extensive notes explaining it.
Right. Very good. Very good. Yeah, the two primary arguments are, number one, that's the only verse that actually has anything nice to say about Edom, which is therefore suspect, and number two, it's easy to show how these two letters can be confused with one another, the R and the D, right? And so this is why everyone should look at that verse with suspicion. All right, folks, I think we clarified the issue. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Love you all. Stay tuned and tell everybody you know about EFR. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Trying to get the right. There we go. Okay, good. Got it.